Hey, Baptist Bible Hour listeners, the Baptist Bible Hour podcast has now been divided into two separate podcast feeds, one for the Sunday edition and one for the daily edition. Search Baptist Bible Hour on your favorite podcast platform and sign up for both programs today.
The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission. My story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. I in my Savior. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
We're glad to have you with us for the broadcast today. I pray the message will be a blessing to you. We'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. We depend on our listeners for support, and if you'd like to see the program stay on your station, I hope that you will decide to be a help. I also encourage you to go to our website at baptistbiblehour.org. You can receive the broadcast there, either the Sunday or the daily edition, and the latest edition of the Baptist Witness is now up, and you will be able to enjoy that publication. The website address is baptistbiblehour.org. You can make a donation there, and we certainly would appreciate your help.
Christ satisfies.
Today we bring you the second part of a message entitled, The Work Goes On. The text for this message is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Keeping this truth in our minds and in our hearts should give us ongoing joy. Joy is a theme in this book of Philippians from which this text is taken. And many times there are distractions, there are trials, there are afflictions that weight us down. But here is a source of joy to know that the God who has begun a good work will complete it. So first we have looked at the fact that the text speaks of a work that God has begun. No man could begin this work, but God has done it. The work is all of God because he planned it before the foundation of the world. He's the one who executes it. It is all by his sovereign grace. So consequently, man cannot boast. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Well, it is God who hath begun this work, and it is described as a good work. It is a good work. It is according to the goodness of God the Father, the goodness of the Son who came to give himself at Calvary, the goodness of the Spirit. There are many good things involved in it, and so we can rejoice in it. And to know that even when we may be traveling in the darkness, God has not forgotten us. He will complete this work. The work goes on. And then we've pointed out that when this good work has been accomplished in one's heart, there is a transformation, and one of the evidences of it, that there will be good works then displayed. So we come to that point today, and we're talking about good works, not the cause of salvation, but the evidence that one has it. Not only good works, but good words. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So the result of this work that is ongoing in us leads us to good works and to good words, so that we should be concerned about how we talk, what we say. If we're talking about something that is good, edifying, or something that is foolish and maybe harmful, what we say ought to be said in the right spirit. If we disagree with somebody, we don't become angry and bitter. We can yet speak kindly. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So everything good in the Christian's life is because of this good work of God according to his grace. There is fruit born. It's described in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, you can't produce that because it's produced by the Spirit. But you can live it out by the grace of God because of this work that he has begun and continues to work in you. Love is part of this, is described as the fruit of the Spirit. 1 John 4:19 tells us we love him because he first loved us. And then it says, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." In fact, part of that reading says that if a man hates his brother, he can't say that I love God. Because if you claim I love God that I haven't seen, but I hate my brother that I have seen, that doesn't work. The evidence that this work is taking place in your life is that there is love. Then the third thing we consider, it is a work that he will complete. He hath begun a good work in you, will he perform unto the day of Jesus Christ. We trust in God who finishes what he starts. He is a faithful God. He will not fail us. Psalm 89:30 says, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod. Here's the Heavenly Father chastening those that he loves because it's his purpose to transform them and make something worthwhile out of them. But get the rest of it. He will chasten them with the rod and their iniquities and stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Isn't that a comfort? This God who hath begun this work in us will perform it to the end. So even when there is failure, I will not take my loving kindness utterly from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Psalm 138:8 speaks of his faithfulness. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. So this again is what the promise says that we're looking at in Philippians 1:6. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It is a covenant that cannot be broken. Jeremiah 32:40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. There's two blessings of the covenant. God says, I will not depart from them. And furthermore, I'll put my fear in their heart that they'll not depart from me. There's the perseverance of the saints. God is at work. It is a covenant not broken. It is a gift not reclaimed. God doesn't give grace. Jesus Christ doesn't give eternal life and then take it back. It wouldn't be eternal life if you only had it temporarily. Jesus said in John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Could give us greater peace, hope, and security than for Jesus himself to say, I give unto them eternal life. They're not going to perish, and nobody can pluck them out of my hand. Somebody said to me one time, well, then nobody can pluck them out, but a person could get out if they decide to go astray. Well, that's not the lesson, obviously. It says that if you're in his hand, you are secure. It's a chain not broken. We read a moment ago, Romans 8:29-30. And that chain begins with foreknowledge. God knew his people intimately before the foundation of the world. And all the foreknown are predestinated. And all the predestinated called. And all the called justified. And all the justified glorified. That's a chain that cannot be broken. Every link is important, and it connects one to the other. It is a calling that cannot be revoked. Romans 11:29. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, when God calls, he's not going to reverse that. He's not going to change that. It's not going to be revoked. A calling which cannot be revoked. It is a foundation that cannot be destroyed. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. My, the foundations of civil government can crumble. The foundations of the economy can crumble. But here is a foundation that cannot be destroyed. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows every one of them, knows all about them. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So this good work continues to bring us back, not only to the good work that's being done on their behalf, but the good work that's being done in them, so that everyone that names the name of Christ should depart from iniquity.
from iniquity. And then it is a love from which you cannot be separated. Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, when you're having one of your down times and you're thinking about all the things that could go wrong, you can make quite a list. But here's a list that'll outdo yours. You can't find anything that's not covered here, whether it's things present, the things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Furthermore, it is an inheritance that will not fade. 1 Peter 1, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Isn't that good to know? You have an inheritance on the other side. You may lose every material thing you have here, but you're not wiped out because you've got an inheritance and you'll be there someday to enjoy it because you're being kept by the power of God. The inheritance is reserved and you will be there on schedule to enjoy it. And then it's a source of encouragement and joy. You can say, Lord, you have begun this work, and I know you're not going to shut it down. Does that not give you encouragement? It's not a work of short-term endurance. He's not going to shut it down. You can say, I have doubted, but you have not left me. You did not forsake me. I have feared, but you have held me up. I have sometimes strayed, but you have brought me back. How good to know we have such a Savior. This truth also provides practical instruction and hope. Isaiah 50 verse 10 says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Now, that presents a picture that perplexes some because they have the idea that if you're obedient, you'll never be in the dark. But this describes the individual who fears the Lord, and as he hears God's servant speak, he obeys the voice of his servant. But he's walking in darkness. And it's a troubled time when you're walking in darkness. It seems you can't find the promise that you have the faith to claim. You feel like you're left out of all of them. They're for somebody else. Your emotions are troubled. Your mind is upset. You feel that your heart is broken. You're walking in darkness. And Satan, when he attacks you, would say, you might as well give it up. No need to go on. But what's the instruction we get here? Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. You don't give up. Yes, Lord, this is a dark place. This is a low spot in the valley. But I'm trusting you. You promised never to leave me nor forsake me, and I'm trusting you. He stays upon his God. He doesn't give up. He doesn't turn aside. In Malachi 3:6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What's the basis then of our confidence? That God doesn't change. And therefore, we can trust him even when we're in the dark. Furthermore, it's a truth that moves us to perseverance. Paul says in the second chapter of this book of Philippians, verse 13, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I said, well, I might say, well, I thought it was given to me. Well, it is, and you can't work it out if you haven't got it. But when it's given to you, you are to work it out. That means you've got something to do. You don't become idle. I'm going to obey these instructions that are given in God's word. But here's the good news, even in this, for it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. So you're not out there by yourself. You're trying to work it out. You're trying to serve him. You're trying to obey him. You're trying to put him first in your life. He's working in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. You may be tired, discouraged, but God is working in you. In all your trials, he is continuing his work. He uses those trials, even the chastisements, to shape you more in his image and to make of you what he would have you to be. Keeping before you this truth, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it on the day of Jesus Christ, then should give you joy. When your circumstances are such that there's nothing you can see right at the moment to give you joy. In fact, the joy that's talked about in Scripture is different from the happiness people talk about from time to time. Somebody can come home and say, well, I am really happy. I got a raise at work. But joy is another thing. You might come home and say, I lost my job, but I've still got joy, because my joy is in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which we have made reference to, which is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now get this part. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if needs be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So it may be that at the moment you're facing many trials and many difficulties, but at the same time we can greatly rejoice in the anticipation of one day in being there to enjoy this inheritance. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In him, though you have not yet seen him, believing, ye rejoice. Get this, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so though now you're in a time of trial and difficulty, you can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, because you're anticipating that day that you're going to see Jesus. You pray to him now. You depend on him now. But in that great day, you're going to see him. He hath begun a good work in you and will perform it. We'll continue with it. We'll not shut it down. We'll continue until the day of Jesus Christ. The hymn writer expressed it like this: my name from the palms of his hands eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given. More happy, but not more secure, are the glorified spirits in heaven. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid. You who
a comfort. What wonderful assurance to know that this salvation is not based on man's fickle free will, upon his good works, his effort, but on the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross. And on that basis, the God who hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you keep that in mind, what a joy. The work goes on. God does not fail in his determination to save his people. He saves them by his grace. May we rejoice in the truth. The work goes on. Till next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.